scared of you. They scared of what you represent to them. Amen. All we represent to them, man, is somebody who needs a haircut. What you represent to them is freedom.
What the hell's wrong with freedom, man? That's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about, all right. But talking about it and being it, that's two different things.
You think you're ready?
Yeah, I think I'm ready. Alright, so this is what? The Sasquatch episode?
Sasquatch.
Are we doing this to fucking...
Whoa, hang on. What?
Yeah, what? Fuck him. Yeah, no. Are we doing this to pacify Jesse and his fucking...
My beliefs? My religion?
Jesse? Yeah. Is that your religion? Bigfoot is a...
Wait, fucking what? No, I think this would be a fun episode. Yeah.
Did you see that fucking messing with Sasquatch fucking...
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah,
I watched
that's
it.
Hilarious.
Poor Sasquatch.
All right, ready to get this thing going?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Unrestricted Podcast, episode 12.
12.
12. Today,
Dirty Dozen.
We are talking about the elusive Bigfoot.
Yes.
Sasquatch.
Yes.
The Yeti. Yes. Somebody's excited.
Exactly.
So the question is Bigfoot real? Does Bigfoot actually exist?
Or can he exist? Or is it
can he? Right? Well, can he? Yeah, can he? Because I guess, I mean, unless you guys know something I don't know if he does or not.
Well, you've seen the commercials.
Do you know if he does or not?
You seen
the commercials? He's in the Jack Lynx commercials?
Yeah, damn right.
So then he must be real, right? that's funny.
It's on the internet. It must be real.
It's got to be. There's a shit ton of YouTube videos out there.
Fuck
of
yeah.
People fucking making noises, so.
Hell yeah.
Maybe it's out there. Maybe he's real. Who wants to go? Who wants to tell us what they think first?
I think Miguel, you, because you always start
exactly.
The show off very well. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right.
Give us something to argue about.
All right. Bigfoot. Okay. First of all, I think we need to keep an open mind, obviously. Right. And
okay.
And think of,
are we doing that this episode?
I guess, you know. and let's keep the natural from the unnatural separated, right?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And, so everything's natural then.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, now, if we're gonna think about stuff like Bigfoot, we always obviously have to think about, okay, if that's a possibility, you know, then so is Nessie, right? Nessie, the
mm-hmm.
fucking whatever, that fucking. Loch Ness Sea, that's the Canadian Loch Ness Sea monster, right? You know, Chupacabra. Right?
Hell yeah.
Bat Boy, maybe, right? You know, Bat Boy from the Sun.
There's been
right?
plenty of pictures of Bat Boy, right?
Right. Now, all fucking bullshit aside and all that other kooky stuff, I think that, is it possible? Of course, anything is possible, man. I mean, there's, take Cuba, for instance, man. Over in Cuba, there's animals and bugs and insects and plants and stuff that nobody else in the world knows. Nobody else in the world because of the restrictions that they've had over there and whatnot, you know. Or, you know, take the elusive snow leopard. Yeah, I think it's only been on film a couple of times, you know, in the wild, you know. I'm sure they got a couple in cages and whatnot, you know, but...
Those are the not so elusive snow leopards.
Okay, yeah. Those were the slow ones. So fuck, I'm caught.
Yeah, that's
you know?
The slow ones.
But you know,
hard
like
sleepers,
like the snow leopard. I mean, you know, as long as it's been on planet Earth, man, and as long as we've had film, and as long as we've had people trying to explore these regions where we haven't been, man. I mean, he was only discovered, or not he. But the snow leopard wasn't discovered until just quite recently, man. You know, it's not like he's been, you know, and he's been out there. I mean, they've been out there for, I'm going to say, hundreds of years, man. And now we were barely, and science is always, or not just science, but, you know, environmentalists and what, they're always finding new things, always finding new
Yeah, they discover new creatures, yes, and there's still lots of this world that is undiscovered.
Yeah, exactly.
And lots of things that we don't know about. Yeah.
They say we know more about space than we do, you know, than we know about our own planet, man, which is kind
of... Well, I mean, anybody can say that, but really?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
I find it hard to believe that we would know so much about some place that we've really barely been.
Right, right.
And yet know so little about some place that we could go tomorrow. You know what I mean?
It's funny. I think it was Jim Morrison that said this, man. He's all, you know, when they had that big race for outer space, he's all, what's the big deal? I'm paraphrasing this and I'm fucking it up, you know, but, you know, what is the big deal about getting into outer space when we're already there?
He was flying the ship. Here, take one of these. Put a couple of these under your tongue. Let's go for a ride.
But in reality, if you think about it, like, aren't we really in outer space? Like, you know, as kind of a to sit there and think that, hey, we're the center of the universe. You know what I mean? But anyway, so back to Sasquatch. Is it possible? I think it's possible, man. But my biggest beef is that I think that there would be more actual proof, man, like a body because like even elephants, who go back and visit their dead and whatnot and what I kind of fucked that one because it has nothing to do with what I'm going to say. But,
I get what you're saying. Like people discover dead elephants.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Is that's what you're trying to say?
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, thanks for cleaning that up for me. But yeah, you know what I mean. I'm sure.
That's definitely one of the big arguments that people go to is why haven't we found bones? Mm-hmm. Why haven't we found a dead body? You know, why haven't we found piles of shit somewhere?
Right.
You know, there's a lot of that out there, and it's all valid points. And, you know, some of it can kind of be explained away. So a lot of it has to do with the environment. So the environment that the supposed Bigfoot or Sasquatch or giant ape or whatever the hell it is you want to call it lives in is usually a damp, you know, or moist, highly elevated area with a lot of predatory animals that are able to, when they find that thing dead... You know, I mean, how many moose do you find? I mean, if in that same environment, you know, those sort of things didn't go away, you'd find dead moose and dead bear. And I mean, you'd find dead animals just laying all over the place.
Right.
You know, in highly populated bear areas, you don't just find dead bears everywhere. You know, and the reason for that is one, you get the predators that come in and will eat the meat. And the other one is the ground environment that they're on very quickly disintegrates and absorbs bone. You know, the forest floor is, in a season, it'll just eat itself up. It'll drop, you know, the trees will drop new shit and it'll all just turn into soil and just continue to disappear into nothing. Yeah. Now you take like an elephant or a giraffe or something that's in, you know, the savannas of Africa, and it's a drier environment. So it's going to take a lot longer for that to happen. Even after, you know, the predators come in and pick the bones clean, it's just going to take a lot longer for the bones to disintegrate.
Nature takes its course, and that's one of the arguments.
And it does make a lot of sense if you really think about it. So, you know, and there has been some scat or shit or whatever found that they can't identify.
Poo poo.
And you know, that they can't identify, so they isn't this and it isn't this and it isn't that, and of course it happens to contain the diet that they believe that these creatures live on, but they can't say for sure that this is Bigfoot shit because it's unidentified. But like you said, there's unidentified creatures all over the place that we haven't discovered yet, you know, or some regional mutation of something else. And maybe because of his diet, his waste looks different than what we expect that creature's waste to look like.
Right, right.
And it isn't really Bigfoot. Right. It's just some other version of something we already know.
Is different than Bigfoot.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So for me, that's not really that valid of an argument either.
All right, so we
have this thing and we don't know what it is. That I'll agree. Sure, you don't know what it is. But then you can't say because we don't know what it is that it's automatically Bigfoot. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Okay, 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 hold on. Let's see. Where are Jesse?
Yes.
Since you're sick and this, I want to believe this is your. Don't ask me why.
Uh-huh.
But I want to believe this is your baby for some reason. Where are you with Bigfoot?
Well, my brother has a friend named Sasquatch, so I gotta believe, dude.
He's real. Sasquatch is real.
Okay, you want to, you know, I've always been fascinated with Bigfoot, Sasquatch. I mean, even since I was a kid when, you know, back in the early 80s when they had that, you know, that for the first document or the first film of a sighting of Bigfoot.
Okay, he was walking away?
Exactly. Okay, yeah. And you know, there's skeptics, there's people who believe, blah, 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 blah. But if you think about it, from what I've heard and what I've seen on TV and from what I've read, there's been a sighting of a Bigfoot or Sasquatch or Yeti on every single fucking continent, dude. Like everywhere there's this creature that seems to be Bigfoot. And if you go back in time, as far as like the Bible, the New Testament, Mesopotamia, you know, you go back to the beginning, and every single hieroglyphic image that we have, there's some kind of version of a Bigfoot. Why is that? You know, this goes back. I mean, David and Goliath, that's a Bigfoot. Goliath's a Bigfoot. You know, it every single god that we know, that we read of, has a Bigfoot in it. And you know, I honestly think Bigfoots are I think they exist. I just think that there's cave systems that we don't explore and know about. And there's so much out there still that is so unexplored that I don't think we'll ever find it. I mean, I've seen documentaries on TV about Sasquatch being an alien, that aliens brought, you know, Sasquatch down, and so, they use them as slaves to do the work for them to collect metals and shit, you know, like gold and, you know, silver.
Do you buy into the whole like portal theory where they go in and out of like a time warp portal?
You know, that one kind of gets me a little bit.
That's why you can't find them, because they go in and out of like alternate universe.
Exactly. That one is hard to swallow. But
a little bit, yeah.
But
it's fun.
It's, oh hell yeah, it's fun, because I'm it sounds fun. You know, but if you think about it, every time there has been a sighting, the Yeti or Bigfoot was just as scared as the human, and they both ran off. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, he chased us, or he tried to take my hamburger away from me while I was eating it in the woods. You know what I'm saying? It's always been
obviously not trying to make contact.
Exactly,
right?
Right. Exactly. So my theory is, and here's what I think. Here's what I think. I think we're the aliens, and they're the ones that were actually here maybe before us, bro. I mean,
that would make us very unnatural.
Very unnatural. But if you think about it, I mean, we've got religion, we've got theories on how man was created and blah, 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 blah. They've found new bones where it's a 10'8" that, you know, they didn't know existed. And this thing was massive, bigger than a silverback gorilla.
Gigantopithecus.
Exactly. Gigantopithecus. Yeah. Yes. I mean, How do you tell a skeptic about that and say, you know, hey,
there's also a theory out there that there used to be giants, literally giant, right, like human form people that walked this planet.
But
that's a whole other like wormhole that you can go down craziness.
Like in rabbit hole.
Worms, rabbits, whatever the fuck makes a hole, you're falling in that side.
Miguel, you could take the red pill or the blue pill, it don't matter, bro.
Right.
Yeah. Either way, you're going
either
for
way,
a ride.
You're going for a ride, homie.
here's okay, like Jesse touched on, hey man, that they put the Bigfoots here down to, and I don't even want to get into this.
Because, when we say they, we're talking about aliens here, right?
Yes. I don't even want to get into it, because it just, like, to me, it'll make, I think it'll make me, it'll make people think that I should be wearing a fuck. I was talking to my girlfriend the other day, and I tell
fucking tinfoil hat.
Exactly.
Welcome now. Fuck that. Welcome to the club. Hey, welcome to the club. I'm gonna make custom ones with our logo on it. Hey, fucking hats. Custom tinfoil hats, right? Tinfoil trucker hats. Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh man, because you know there's you know okay, real quick, like oh god, I don't even want to get into it.
And then I'll turn my office into a giant Faraday cage. Put all my electronics in here.
Okay, fuck. Tesla.
Hey, I have a question. So, if we can agree for a second, if we can all agree just for a split second that Bigfoot does travel through like some time dimensional warping portal, and that's why we can't find him. Him being considered the hide and seek world champion, like does that mean he's cheating?
Fuck yeah, it does. He's getting assistance from aliens.
No. Here's okay. How is that cheating if we're not even in the game, dude?
Well, you know what I mean? I don't know. I thought we were in the game.
No, hell
we're
no.
trying to find him. Exactly. We're trying to find him, but trying to hide at the same time. But then he's got like this magic portal he can walk into and disappear. So yeah, to me, that's kind of like the unfair advantage.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's see. All right. You got a 338 Lapua. All right. You're out there wandering away. Is that part of the game? You know what I mean? That you get
that's not hide and seek, right? What would you do with a 338 Lapua on hide and seek?
Well, you're going to
like
shoot?
Fucking tag your
head. Yeah, hell yeah. I'm going to sit down. I ain't going to go for a headshot, though. I'll tell you that much, man. I want that head intact, man. You know what I mean? I want that head intact. So, anyways, okay. I'm going to throw this out there. Fuck it, man.
The only thing that would be left is the part that looks like a gorilla.
Yeah. It was an escaped gorilla from the Cincinnati Zoo. He's been escaped. We've been looking for him since 1978, and you guys ran across him in Oregon. You know, it's like, how the fuck did he get
in from? Oregon yeah. and fucking everywhere else? He just happens to be all those places.
Fuck.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So,
go ahead. What you got?
Gold. That is my biggest Achilles heel right now. Gold.
Why? Because you don't have any?
Well, yeah, of course, that too. That's probably the biggest thing. I never even thought about that.
You don't need gold to make a tinfoil hat.
No, I know. Okay, you know. Okay. Here's my deal with gold. Like, what makes it so valuable? If anybody out there,
because it's the best. It's the best conductor there is out there.
Okay. All right.
It's also the same thing that makes money valuable because we fucking said so.
Okay. Well,
because
everybody wants it. That's why.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's unobtainium.
But let's say, for the sake of argument. Jet back in 18 or whatever, who knows? Who cares? 1600, who gives a shit? Jesse's walking along some trail and he happens to find this big fucking rock of gold, right? What would make it valuable to you, Jesse? If you were the first person to ever find gold, why would it be valuable to you?
Well, it wouldn't be. It would just be another.
Why is it now?
Well,
because enough people have done the same thing and have just figured out that it's hard to get.
Yeah. Okay. So
gold, and it's not as easy as finding iron.
No,
like
iron
you find
is
that
made.
All over the place, iron but then every
made.
Once in a while.
Iron is made. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what
right,
I mean? Like
right.
whatever other natural elements and elements
process.
That are easy to find. Like so what makes silver less valuable than gold? Well, because gold's harder to get than silver.
Okay. Well.
You know, what makes platinum more valuable than gold?
Right.
Because
right,
it's harder
right.
to get than gold.
Right. But that's after hundreds of years or thousands of years of us mining and fighting these other elements that we think are garbage because we're after the gold because for some reason something is pulling us towards gold. Something is even
right.
okay even
because it's
like,
the unobtainable
okay but
it, like, it's the less obtainable I guess.
Even like the Egyptians when they would make those things out of those sarcophagus whatever the giant
sarcophagus
those giant coffins right. and they would plate them with gold or the Aztecs down here when the Spaniards right. came it was all golden city and this and that because it seemed to have some kind of value and whatever but in reality gold is like, aside from it being able to be the perfect conductor and for it to be like to be able to reflect the sun rays exactly, because you know it can reflect even a, even the ultraviolet rays of the sun, you know. But aside from that, which we recently in the recent past have found out, back in those days, gold is worthless as a material. You can't. It's a soft metal, so you can't.
Yeah, it's too soft to make machinery or anything
tools
like that out of,
or anything right. out of. Right, you can't make a pot yeah. out of it because of the melting. You know, the melting point is way too low. You can't cook food in
right.
it. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. But so go back to when it was first discovered, right, and first being used, mm-hmm. and not Egyptian discovery, mm-hmm. and well, maybe even yeah. Egyptian discovery. So then, to your point of it's essentially useless, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But it's hard to find. Uh-huh. So then, it makes the perfect currency.
Right.
But for who?
For those people who feel like they need a currency.
Okay.
So right, I need this thing to be worth a value to get something else that's of value to me. Okay. Right. I need to use all something right. as exchange. But I don't want to use like steel or whatever commodity I have that I can actually make something out of. Now I can take this useless thing and give it a perceived value. And then that perceived value I give to you. And now you have perceived value and I've gotten something
okay.
that I do value.
So,
is not just a perceived value right. in return. So, it's our money system
Miguel,
to this day.
Are you saying why is it so valuable now than...
No, I don't know.
How did it become value?
Okay,
valuable?
Right, okay.
Is that the question you're asking?
Okay.
Well, even Miguel,
Jesse,
Miguel.
Jesse thing is not working out, man. He is just not paying attention, man. You know what I mean? Okay, cool. Okay, but here's what I'm getting at. I understand your point, Chris, but that it is, I don't want to say some kind of conspiratorial thing or whatever, but it may be a control thing, financial control or whatever. When you have places like Egypt, China, Mexico, or Central America, Northern, the Americas, or Asia, and you know, different places finding gold, are you gonna sit there and tell me that all these places thought, hey, we're going to make this into a fucking commodity that somebody else, you know, because
possibly because if you look at all those places, they used it as a symbol
of loyalty and wealth and leadership.
Right.
That's what it was.
So to me that they all, yes, they all kind of fall into the same belief about gold is that it's a currency. It's, you know, and the more of it you have, like I have so much gold, I can melt it down and plate my casket with it.
But
you know, then I'm richer than you.
But
status.
Right. But that status was saved for who? It wasn't saved for the emperors and the kings and all. It was saved for the dead. It was always the dead that, hey, you know what? This is how much he meant to us.
Right.
We're going to give him this. And I believe, I'm going
to
sound cuckoo.
If he wasn't wealthy in life, then he needs to be wealthy in death.
Well, because he's going off to visit what? He's going off to the other world or whatever,
right.
you know what
yeah.
I mean, with the aliens and whatever the fuck, and they want the gold. They need the gold.
It's possible.
You know? So
the only hole that I see in that theory, and I agree with you up to the point of it's physically still here, so what is that? How does that work? Like, is it symbolic? Because they didn't take it with them. Right, we
right.
found it. It's mm-hmm. still there.
Right.
So were they just wrong,
no,
or does it work a different way? How does it work?
I think it probably works a different way. I think, okay, I'm gonna break it down to my minimal. Okay, I hate to take up so much time, but I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, this isn't Bigfoot at all.
No, it's not.
We can rename the episode "Golden Bigfoot" or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Golden Bigfoot.
Okay. If you're willing to believe in aliens and you have to believe that they could be anything, correct? Like they don't have to be human, like they don't have to have two arms. They don't
right.
They don't have to breathe air.
That's why it's called alien.
Unknown to us.
Exactly.
That's why it's alien.
Exactly.
It's alien. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not like us.
That octopus with the big bubble and the fucking board with a nail in it. That's possible, right? You know, the big bubble around his
sure.
head or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And for an alien to be an alien, it can be anything is like it's possible that it could eat nuclear fusion or whatever, like, you know, that could be healthy for it, correct? And our excrement could be deadly to it, you know what I mean, right? I mean, okay, it could be just about anything. Okay, so my belief is, hey, they need gold for a certain reason. Who knows? Maybe it's a drug to them. I don't know. Maybe it's something that they need to live, right? So there's plenty of gold on other asteroids and whatnot that scientists say that there's a lot going on. But Earth is a huge, huge gold container. It has like way too much gold.
Manufacturer of gold.
The Earth itself has a lot of gold. So, okay, in order for the aliens to get it, they need to fucking make some kind of creature that's willing to dig it out. All right. Well, we don't know anything about that planet. Let's just throw out let's try this, let's try that, let's try this, let's try that. And that's where the dinosaurs came from, right? That's my belief. So they made all these creatures and they're like, fuck, these guys suck. You know, because they just can't do what we want them to do.
They're just eating, because, that's all.
Yeah, and fucking, and you know, that's whatever.
All they do is eat.
And so, but it's trial and error, right? And so finally, one alien comes along and says, you know what, let's just start all over. Let's start with a clean slate. Let's fucking, you know, we'll send a meteor real quick to fucking kill all, you know, to cover the earth in fucking dust, suffocate them, fuck them. You know what I mean? And so that's what happens, right? So a big meteor comes, hits us, right? After that, now we're starting to see, because you would see that after the dinosaur era or whatever, the first, you know, more creatures are, I don't want to say two-legged, but they're a little bit smaller, a little more condenser, you know what I mean? They come up with the ape, okay? And that's what ends up, I guess.
They got thumbs.
Okay, yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. But and okay, now we go.
They said that fucking look at T Rex's arms. He can't hold
exactly,
a shovel.
Exactly, exactly. But they don't know that. They're like, okay, well, maybe, you know, he's got, you know, okay. And so, I can't recall very many dinosaurs out there that actually have arms, except for the T Rex.
And right? None of them have fucking thumbs, right? No, velociraptors
exactly.
Have arms.
Exactly. Okay, and so then, whatever, fast forward a whole bunch of years, they destroy the Earth, they start coming up, blah, 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 blah. And then they come up with this ape-like guy, you know what I mean? A Neanderthal or whatnot. And then they say, hey, this guy might be our guy right here. You know what I mean? And instead of just destroying the other animals, because they might destroy us as well, you know, they said, okay, well, let's just give them, you know, a little bit more brain, you know what I mean, and that's where it came in, and you know, because so. Bottom line, aliens need gold for fucking something, and they're using us to fucking get it.
So we're Sasquatch.
That's why Bigfoot exists.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So Bigfoot is the gold collector.
No, he's our fucking keeper.
He's the one that makes sure that we're collecting the gold.
Yeah. Doing our job.
But yeah, we don't ever see him.
Okay. You ever see the CEO of your place?
Yeah.
Okay. How often? He's pretty elusive.
Every couple of months. He's
pretty elusive.
He's just a couple floors above me. Run into him in the elevator every once in a while. So
what's your belief, Chris?
So, well, you know, I don't really have one. I think it's really interesting. There's a few things I'm like, come on, we've been looking for a long time. You know, some of the stuff that I feel like, you know, this image has been put out there, and that's just what we want to see, and so that we keep seeing it. I mean, it's like, why do you see Jesus in toast? You know, because your brain like wants to make sense of what it's seeing.
Right.
So if it sees something that's, you know, like a bear that's behind a tree, but it doesn't look like a bear, then your brain goes, fucking Bigfoot. And if you're out in the woods and you're looking for Bigfoot, then your brain definitely goes, okay, yeah, Bigfoot, so, right? You right. Throw everything else out. You don't go, bear. No, you go Bigfoot, and they go, oh, no, it's a bear, right? Or you just don't.
Right.
So a lot of the dudes that are out there looking for this shit, they're just a bunch of crazy middle-aged unmarried white men.
Fucking white people.
They're
keyword
nuts.
Keyword,
right?
White.
white.
White. Yeah, totally privileged and fucking crazy. There are no black people. There are no black people looking for Bigfoot.
You ain't seen no beaners out there. Fuck no. You got enough to deal with the Chupacabra.
So the most, you talked about it, Jesse, the you know, the footage of the old footage of Bigfoot, right. Supposedly Bigfoot walking across the screen,
right.
And stops and looks over his shoulder.
Right.
So supposedly the theory on that is it's a female because it has tits. It's called the Patterson Gimlin footage, mm-hmm. And there's a whole ton of speculation because really that's probably the best
footage of
that creature, whatever that might be. So you know, and obviously there's people who are like, that's just a dude in a suit.
Right.
You know, and they even think that they know who the guy is. His name is Bob Hieronymus. And he's a tall dude. He's a tall dude. He kind of fits the bill like size-wise. And, you know, it's funny because one of the two guys, Patterson or Gimlin, I forget which one of the two. Patterson, I think, was the one that did the filming.
Uh-huh.
One of those two guys is said to be a con man. The fucking check that they wrote to rent the camera that they filmed it on was like a fucking fake check. It was like check. Like the total dude was a total fucking con man. So that's why it goes to like the whole dude in a suit thing.
Right.
So I actually watched, my wife has been out of town this week and I had a whole list of documentaries that I wanted to watch while she was gone. And none of them had anything to do with Bigfoot. But it turns out that I didn't watch any of the shit that I wanted
except
to. Ended up watching two documentaries about fucking Bigfoot. So the second documentary that I watched was actually a History Channel documentary. I think it's called Finding Bigfoot.
Uh-huh.
And they broke it down. They seems to be kind of one of the best ones I've seen for sort of looking at both sides of the fence and maybe even trying to do some investigation as to, you know, is this possibly a guy in a suit? Is this not a guy in a suit? And they had people kind of break it down to where they looked at the way the thing walked, which is not a standard like heel toe locked knee human gait, right? It had bent knees and it was like ball, you know, they landed on flat footed, which, you know, all the plaster casting of the
right
of the, I'm saying that in air quotes, plaster casting of the Bigfoot, you know, footprints
are all smooth.
They're all, yeah, you know, so it's all like a flat foot, you know, flat foot imprint. So this fits that bill. Now it's not hard for somebody to study walk an ape way, you know, and teach themselves how to walk that way. It is kind of hunched over. They were able to do that. But one thing I thought was interesting was that footage is really jumpy, you know. It's a shitty camera. The dude had like fallen down in the woods, he says, or whatever. So it's not real stable. So they actually went in frame by frame and stabilized the footage. They shifted it up or down to take the jolt out of the camera and made it like a smooth image of him walking across, you know, of it walking across the screen, which really helped quite a bit. And in doing that, you can see like muscle definition, you know, and you can see the way that the skin and the fur moves with the body.
Uh-huh. Or it's not a suit.
And it, well, yeah, and then they went and they actually created a suit and then, like, looked at the way the suit moves, and it makes perfect sense that there's no way that you would be able to see that muscle structure and that movement under
a suit
that was built to the technology that they had
at the time. Right.
Yeah, so they went to, like, Hollywood now, you know, and said, build me a suit. And they've got this fabric that stretches in mm-hmm. four directions. And it's what they use to make, you know, monkey and ape suits for the movies now. But back in 67, when that footage was done, they didn't have the technology to build something to be able to do that. You know, and he would have essentially looked like, you know, a dude in a Halloween costume fucking monkey suit. It wouldn't have flowed that way. And, you know, it's not to say that that's a defining characteristic, but you know, if they did a suit,
it's a factor.
the best suit of the fucking time, you know. So that's definitely something to consider, I think. Now the other interesting thing that they did was they took, you know, of the scale of the distance and the height that they believe that the creature would be based on its footprint and looking at the other characteristics and proportions in the film, they put a man size, you know, silhouette next to it, like making the same uh-huh. movements. And then they lined up the knees. And when they lined up the knees, the hips and the shoulders were out of place. When they lined up the shoulders, the hips and the knees were out of place. When I lined up the hips, the knees and the shoulders were out of place. Like, proportionately, this thing wasn't fucking human.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it had, you know, shorter areas between joints than humans do in some places and longer in others.
Right, right.
Okay.
And it just didn't line up to be human. It doesn't prove Bigfoot, but it leans towards not human. So is it just like a, you know, an evolved or a mutated monkey or ape or some kind of a like mutated bear, or maybe a bear and a monkey fucked and there's Bigfoot, you know?
Well,
I mean, shit just gets crazy. That opens up a lot of opportunities.
You heard about the guy in Russia back in the 1920s who was trying to impregnate chimpanzees with human DNA. Well, impregnate them with our, you know, our junk.
I didn't know about that, but that's fucked up.
And so
so you think one of them escaped Russia?
No. But here's
the Pacific Northwest.
Here's what I'm saying.
With little bestiality, man.
Listen. Here's what I'm saying. That didn't work. So he reversed it. He was going to put chimpanzee junk into women in human, but he was arrested before any results or any matter came out of it.
That we know of. Tinfoil hat answer right there. That we know of.
So here's the thing. How many fucking psychos are out there doing the same thing with every other?
Without telling anybody.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, you know, that's our chupacabra. That might be our Bigfoot. That might be our, you know, Bat Boy. That might be Wolfman. Who know? I don't know. But there are enough sick people out there to do that kind of shit just to see if it's going to work. You know what I mean?
That are actually being paid for.
Exactly.
By the government.
Yeah. Right. Research. So the question is, if you made it a chimpanzee with a human or a human with a chimpanzee, does it have a dick like a man or a giant red rocket like a dog?
Fuck. He's probably got both. He's probably got both.
What if it's a hermaphrodite? Yeah,
oh, my God.
Oh, man. I think we've exhausted every possible fucking Bigfoot option at this point, right?
Almost.
Any other nonsense?
No.
We want to get on to some music.
I'm good with some music, man.
All right. Oh, hey, you know what?
Real quick.
Wait. Hang on. Before we get to music, I've got one more thing, one more crazy fucking thing that I would like to share with the group on Bigfoot. I found some Bigfoot sounds, and shit is fucking amazing. You got to listen to this. About 30 All seconds. Right. So here, right. Hang on. So that's it.
That sound like one of my uncles all fucked up.
Right? That's what I'm saying. It sounds extremely human, but that is it is definitely fucking, well, it's claimed to be Bigfoot. It's on fucking YouTube. Some dude is like, check it out, there he is right there. And then he's recording this is what it sounds like. You know, and the funny thing is like when he's like, check it out, like there's no background noise. And then all of a sudden that noise happens and there's all this like staticky background noise. So the dude totally fucking like built the shit in his basement. It, like you said, it's probably his drunk uncle fucking burping.
Exactly.
Burping and like trying to have sex with a goat.
It almost sounded backwards. Right?
Yeah. You flip it around, put a bunch of effects on it. It sounds like Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's fucking. It's probably Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. This is a backstage interview with Ozzy. Shit's funny.
Oh, funny.
So anyway.
Oh, funny. Yeah. All right. Well, here we go. On to the music. And here's what I got. I'll go over my three first, man, since I'm on top of this roster listing everything with Jake. I've got, I think I told you a few weeks ago, Jerry Lee Lewis. He's got this album. It's been out for a few years now, I think like 2006 or whatever, man. But it's called Last Man Standing. and he does a bunch of duets with some guys, and one of them is he does a duet with Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin. Oh, okay. and they do rock, they do rock and roll. Cool. And it's you know, Jerry Lee Lewis just jamming on his piano, man, and it's fucking, you know, pretty fucking badass, man. Pretty fucking badass. And if you guys ain't out there, ain't too hip to marrying your cousin or whatever, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis is, you know, an old school piano player back in the day. Came out with, same time as what, did Elvis.
Jerry Lee Lewis marry his cousin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
He's a white guy. Of course he did. Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
I didn't know
and
that.
She was like six. She was 16 years old.
Yeah,
at the time.
She was. Yeah, like really, like yeah.
That's
exactly.
That's two weeks in a row we've talked about music that has to do with your with fucking your cousin. This is starting to become a trend.
And it's, okay, and song number two, because I was
I don't think I like it.
Song number two, I picked, man, just simply because, man, I ran across the Blues Brothers, and you know, a great movie. I believe probably one of the greatest movies out there. But, you know, anyways, and the song is "Soothe Me" by Sam and Dave, and it's weird, man, because you. That song is everywhere, but when you try to buy it on as Sam and Dave, it's hard to find. But if you buy it as Sam Cooke, I mean, you can find it under Sam Cooke, but you really can't find somewhere to buy it as Sam and Dave. And I don't know why, you know. But "Soothe Me," Sam and Dave, great song. You know, kind of soul, kind of funky-ish. It's awesome.
Cool.
And my last song is "Boom Boom Boom." Probably because I was listening to some John Lee Hooker, and I thought, didn't he remake this song with somebody?
Is that Big Head?
Yeah, sure.
We'll go for it.
Big Head Todd and the Monsters.
That's Big Head Todd and Big Head Todd from Big Head Todd and the Monsters, right?
Yeah, yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah. And he does a duet with John Lee Hooker.
Oh,
man.
Wow. I didn't. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's fucking badass, man. It's badass. And it's John Lee Hooker going boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know? But it's Big Head Todd, you know, ripping on the guitar.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool. It's good, man. It's good, man. So. Those are my three songs.
Good deal. I like it.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I had no idea Big Head Todd did anything with John Lee Hooker. So, cool. I'll have to check that out. So, I was flipping through some stuff, just looking for songs to listen to while I was working on a Saturday, which is pretty not typical for me. So, I was at the office kind of by myself, so I'd crank up the headphones so I don't have to worry about anybody else hearing anything. And I've stumbled across some old shit I used to listen to in high school. Is Cypress Hill, "I Want to Get High."
Yeah.
Right? That's a great song. I haven't listened to Cypress Hill in fucking many, many years, but, you know, it just brought back a bunch of, you know, cruising around Southern California, my buddy Kurt's Mustang with a couple of 15s in the trunk, making a bunch of rattles, and listening to that song. It was hilarious. So, yeah, it took me right back. I like it. Good song. See, my second one is, it's a Guess Who song called "No Sugar Tonight." Most people probably don't know it, but I think if you heard it, you'd be like, oh, I probably heard
no
that
sugar
some
tonight
point in time.
In the
yeah, exactly.
No sugar tonight. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I had no idea what this song was or who did it. And one morning I got in the car and the radio was on, you know, and I listened to the, like the local kind of classic rock station or whatever. If I listened to the radio. And this song was on, and I don't know, for some reason it hit me like, this is a good, just old school, you know, rock and roll, like 60s, 70s rock and roll song,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
man, this just jams. So I was flipping through some of my stuff, and I discovered this song again this weekend. So I figured I'd throw that in there. That's a great, great song. The third one is Robert Randolph and the Family Band. You guys know who they are?
Yeah, hell
no, I know,
yeah.
I know you do for sure. You know who they are, Miguel, right?
No.
Dude, you got to check out Robert Randolph and the Family Band.
All right.
So, I mean, it's like a huge, you know, blues.
Lap steel player.
Yeah. Robert Randolph plays lap steel like a motherfucker.
Okay.
He does. I mean, he plays lap steel and he does Jimi Hendrix tributes. Like on lap steel. He's a fucking animal.
He can actually, because lap steel's it's slide,
right?
But he can actually make his slide sound,
yeah, like it's being fingered.
Guitar,
yeah,
like it's played like a guitar. because slap steel is totally wow. You know, you got a lot of vibrato. But he actually plays, one of his favorite musicians growing up was Stevie Ray Vaughan, and he actually can play like Stevie Ray Vaughan on a lap steel fucking guitar.
With a slide bar, without, the guy's a fucking animal, man.
No fingers.
So the song is Ted's Jam. So this song, I can't find it all the time. I've only ever found a live version of it, and they did a show at a club in New York that was called the Wetlands. And apparently I forget what year it was, but this club got shut down or was closing or whatever for some reason. And I guess Robert Randolph used to play there pretty frequently. So they were not a house band, but they were well known for playing there. So on their final show, they brought Robert Randolph in to play. And they did this song called Ted's Jam. It's like a 13 minute long song. But for me, it's one of the best songs that they've ever done. It's fucking amazing. So anyway, yeah, it's like a 13-minute long song that it's fucking badass from beginning to end. Yeah. You got to check this song out. Check out some other stuff that these guys have done. You know, it's a big band. You know, they've got like the back, the classic like backup singers and fucking just badass fucking jazzy bass players and. Yeah, these guys are fucking on point as a band.
Yeah, I've seen some of his stuff, bro. And you're the one who actually introduced me to him a while back. And ever since then, bro, I've come across him a lot. And he's just one badass motherfucker.
I'll tell you,
that guy that can play.
The fucked up way that I actually found these guys is I had no idea who they were. I bought a new computer. And Windows used to come with like... You know, in your pictures folder, there would be pictures. And in your music folder, there would be a couple of songs, little sample songs.
Yeah, sample, yeah.
One of them was a fucking Robert Randolph song.
No way.
And I listened and I was like, whoa, this is pretty badass. And then I had to look into the guy and I was like, holy shit. So thank you, Microsoft, for hooking that up. So that's my three. What do you got, Jesse?
So my three. First one is... Hound Dog Taylor and the House Crackers.
That's a hell of a name.
Give Me Back My Wig.
Hound Dog Taylor. Yes, thank you, sir.
And I don't know if you know Miguel, he's actually got six fingers. Did you know that?
What?
Yes. Yeah.
He's the fucking six-fingered man?
He plays slide guitar, though. Yes, and this song, I actually found this song.
Well, you got to do something looking with the extra looking finger.
No, was through Stevie Ray Vaughan, because Stevie Ray Vaughan covers it
at the
at the Montreal Blues Fest or Jazz Fest or whatever it is, way back in the, I think it was early 80s, and he did the cover of it, and I was just obsessed with the song because I'd never seen Stevie Ray play with a slide before, and when I researched the song, it was actually done by Hound Dog Taylor, but he's a Chicago player, he's awesome, great guitar player. His music is awesome. He's very comical. A lot of his stuff is live recorded stuff, and he's always just bullshitting with the crowd. It sounds like he's always drunk to me, but but which makes it even better because it's like this guy's just having a good time.
Yeah.
Nice. One of my favorite songs to listen to. My next song is Jimi Hendrix, Little Wing, off the Axis Bold of Love album. I actually heard, and there's another cover of it. I actually heard Kirk Hammett play this at Injustice for All tour.
Oh, wow.
And he did a really good job on it. But again, Stevie Ray Vaughan, I think, does the best.
The best cover.
Yes. But that song alone, there's a lot of players out there that still try to replicate and do what Jimmy does.
Oh, of course.
And that's, they've even got their own, it's called Hendrixisms. As far as like how to play like him,
like phrasing and stuff that's different than everybody else's.
Exactly. Because he played a lot of chordal stuff that was basically when he was soloing, which made him so unique. And that one song is just, I mean.
Yeah, that's like the
song.
It's funny. I don't want to say it's funny. Because I think we talked about this during our music episode, was that, hey, we all. And by all rights, like, okay, like Jimmy is like, right, like the epitome of a guitar player,
right?
You know, but who did he used to go see? who were his influences.
It was the same guys. Yeah. Same guys that we talked about.
Yeah, exactly. Buddy Guy. Yeah, you know what I mean? Buddy Guy rips, you know? So anyway.
I think the kind of the thing on that is that, like, he went to see those were his influences, and he took that influence and turned it into something unique. I think a lot of people after him weren't necessarily using him as an influence to make something unique. They were using him as an influence to kind of do the same thing. And not necessarily copying. I don't want to say Stevie Ray Vaughan was copying Jimi Hendrix, but you can hear, see, and feel a lot of Jimi Hendrix influence in what Stevie Ray Vaughan did. More so, I think, than what you can in looking at Stevie's music and comparing it to what his influences were.
So you want to
know? Because you got Albert King, who influenced Stevie Ray Vaughan, who was biggest influence.
For sure. It's a big circle. I'm not arguing.
But that's Albert King was from Texas. So was Stevie Ray Vaughan. So Stevie Ray Vaughan heard a lot of him. Right. I mean, that was a Texas thing.
And sounds are regional. So people from Texas who learn how to play are gonna have a Texas sound in their influence.
Exactly,
and a lot of that. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and Stevie Ray Vaughan helped bring that to the world, basically. So now one more quick question on that song: which one did you hear first?
I heard the Hendrix version of it.
Did you? I heard Stevie Ray Vaughan first. I, for a while, thought it was a Stevie Ray Vaughan song.
Oh yeah, no. My dad was playing me that album. Like I said, when we were spinning records, album, that was like in the playlist of record spinning. So that was a good album, very good. I love it. And you know, Jimi Hendrix didn't make it here in the States first, right?
Yeah, he was big in Europe first, right?
Yeah, he was across seas. Yes. That's where he made his big calling. So, I think it's very funny because he actually went out on tour. His first tour was with the Monkees, and at that time, you know, in the 60s, it was really for him to be touring with the Monkees again. Playing with the Monkees because the Monkees thought he was a badass guitarist. You're coming on tour with us, buddy. But when he actually went on tour with them, I think he only played like 3 or 4 shows and said, "This ain't for me. I'm out of here."
That's not his crowd, right?
Exactly.
Oh, trip on this one. There was a big blues fest in, God damn it, man. I don't know, Finland or Greenland or Iceland or some land out there where it's all
probably
fucking,
not Greenland,
you know, Nordish fucking white people or whatever, right? And Stevie Ray, and they called, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan went out there and he took his brand of blues out there
and they booed him off stage.
They booed him. No, he's off stage. He played, man. Yeah, he fucking sat there and said, "Fuck these people," and he just played his heart out, man, because they were expecting the whole
To this day, you know, like Swedish and Norwegian music is nothing like American music.
Yeah,
you know, you can take your European
music—that's Viking music.
Yeah, you can take European music and American music, and there's enough similarities that they can convey back and forth. But you go Swedish and Norwegian, and you're in a whole fucking other world, especially when it comes to their metal.
another story, since we're on that whole booing off the stage or, you know, getting booed, Prince opened for the Rolling Stones.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah.
he got booed off the stage.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Yeah.
The Stones got booed off. They were opening for... God, I can't think of it. But they were booed off, too. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. I guess if you're going to make it, you need to get booed off somewhere.
All right. So for my third song, this is a really interesting song to me, and... I'm a huge metalhead. I still listen to metal. I still listen to death metal. But the beginning of this song is just totally just unexpected for a metal song. But it's the name of the song is called Omerta by Lamb of God, and it's off Ashes of the Wake. And basically the beginning of this song is basically Omerta stands for a code of silence through... Some people say it's through gangster thug life or, you know, back in the old days, it was basically a code of silence saying, you know, if you get pinched or you get caught, you're not to say anything about what activities go on. So if you want me to read the beginning of it, Chris?
If you want, if not, I can.
Yeah, you go ahead and do it. You've got the good radio voice.
The beginning of this says, "A wounded man shall say to his assailant, 'If I live, I will kill you. if I die, you are forgiven. Such is the rule of honor.
So then after that, it goes into this just kick-ass swing beat where it's just like, it's like a heart pulse beat, bro, and you just feel it. I think I'll put a, if it's okay with you, I'll put up a video of this song on our Facebook. But great song. It, every time I hear it, it just, oh, it drives me. Just like any metal song out there, you know, you've got your music that puts you in a different mood and swings you a different way. This is the one that truly does really get me going, and just, it's a great song. I love the band. I haven't seen them yet. I'm hoping they come out where I can go and see them. Yeah. They're on my bucket list of bands to see. It's just, it's really hard because they're getting older now, just like all our bands you know, that we listen to.
But those guys aren't slowing down, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope they do swing by anywhere, Colorado, Utah, or back in California. I'll even go to California to see them just to get a good show.
I saw them recently, in the last couple of years, play for Slipknot out here in Texas.
Oh, really?
It was interesting because at the time, I wasn't even a Lamb of God fan. I really didn't even know any of their music. So I got to know them more because... what's his name? The drummer.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Okay,
yeah,
so
I don't know his last name.
Yeah,
but
he actually the latest Megadeth album, before they went into the studio to record it, the guitarist and the drummer both fucking quit. Typical Megadeth, right? Let's do a rotation.
Right.
So Dave Mustaine brought in the drummer from Lamb of God. So yeah. I was reading a lot of articles and stuff and interviews with him as, you know, to getting the
he's
part.
He's a
Megadeth fan. He was a huge Megadeth fan, which was cool because he came in with Dave Mustaine, and, you know, they hit it off like right away and became friends. And Dave basically said, "This is what I'm thinking. You know, what do you think of this stuff, and what do you think we should do?" And fucking Chris, whatever his name is, he went, "Fuck this, let's go old school Megadeth and just bring back like that thrash vibe," which was really cool. But he said he had to change his drumming quite a bit because Megadeth
was straight beats. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, beyond that, Megadeth is a guitar driven band.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whereas he feels like his role in Lamb of God is he calls himself a lead drummer. Because he feels like that music is more drum driven than it is guitar driven, which
exactly.
is totally true. So I've gotten into those guys a lot more now that I've kind of heard some of that and I understand them. And I've actually sort of tried to discover them, and this is a great example of a song. If you want to know what Lamb of God is, this is the song, one of the songs to listen to.
Great song.
So yeah, cool. Totally agree with that. Love it. Anything else?
So I do believe in Bigfoot. And that they are digging for gold, and they're giving it to aliens.
Sweet. And next week on our website, we'll have tinfoil hats available.
Oh shit, man!
Custom-made tinfoil hats.
I think that should be
tinfoil trucker hats. That's what we're doing. Well, I mean, our logo is kind of a Bigfoot, Sasquatch, caveman kind of cross, right?
Oh, yeah,
see, it was meant to be. It was fucking meant to be.
Oh shit! I didn't even think about that.
So I guess Miguel gave our mascot a name a couple episodes ago. He said he looked like Geraldo. I think we were talking. So he looked like Geraldo. So I think I'm gonna call them Harold O. So that's our mascot's official name, Harold O.
Nice.
So anyway, I think that's our show. Cool. It's fucking good one, guys. I really enjoyed
it.
As usual, if you're gonna go check anything out, go to our website, unrestrictedpodcast.com. A couple new features. I redid some work on the website. It's a little cleaner, maybe a little nicer, easier to maneuver around. Also introducing our Patreon page. If you want to go check out patreon.com/unrestrictedpodcast. So if you would like to help support this show and, you know, give us the opportunity to improve things and do more things kind of with this, you feel free to head on over there. I've added a couple of Patreon buttons. There's a Patreon button on the homepage, and there's also a Patreon button that'll take you over there if you don't want to type in the address on the listings for each of our episodes. So if you want to help us out, show us a little support, we will we'll make it worth your while. I promise.
Much anyway, appreciated.
That's our show. I think that's it. We're out. Oh yeah, Facebook, awesome. Shifting Podcast. Ow! Check us out. Ow! Leave us a message. See ya.
Yeah.
See ya.
I went a walking in the woods one day. Met me a Bigfoot standing in my way. I said, "Let's have a drink, man. What do you say?" Well, did you know about the mystery? How you're a modern celebrity? He raised his glass and he smirked with a smile.
I'll drink to that man, but it's not my style. I'm 8 foot tall, Neanderthal. I got some big feet and my arsenal. I look like Chewbacca and I kinda smell like.
That's alright, I understand. I'm not your average mountain man. I'm not afraid to call you my friend. We'll kill this bottle and in the end, I'm an 8 foot tall Neanderthal. I got some big feet and my are small. I look like Chewbacca and I kinda smell like. So if you're walking in the woods one day and see a Bigfoot standing in your way, an offer of suggestion, buddy, if I may, a double shot of whiskey and you'll be okay. Pour me another.